Just before we start, just a brief announcement. So please, no flash photography during the performance because it interferes with what we are trying to do. So thank you. Gentlemen, welcome to the realm of the hand. Tonima and Erki will bring you, using some hands, an illustrated lecture. This presentation will contain four performances, all seen before at Ars Electronica, but shown as a combination for the first time. In between, material towards an archaeology of the hand will be offered. And this is the order of the day. It has foretold the future warm perfumes, and sometimes its rage caused acts of sorrow. Well, it is even so automobile. So, is this the same hand playing God? The hand of the player, the gamer, the artist. At least it is a manifestation of the same topos, about controlling a microworld, superimposing an order on a universe of one's own making. And so is this one. This automaton was made by von Knaus in 1764. Its mechanical hand, powered by a clockwork mechanism, writes a message. In the Bible, the hand of God wrote a terrible prophecy on the wall. The mechanical hand appeals to God for a pleasurable future, reflecting enlightenment optimism. This is its message. In this house, may God never put limits on prosperity or time. No doubt, this prosperity would depend on the creation of ever new human-made marvels, communications and media, the interplay of hands and machines, the creation of new channels from hands to minds.
Yeah. I'm returning with the real of the hand. Silent horror film Shutter, Arthur Robinson evokes the romantic imaginary of shadows and bubbles. The main character is a trickster, a showman, an ombroman. Ombromany, or the art of hand shadows, was a famous stage act. The hands of the performer created magic transformations in front of the audience. The hands were as important as an attraction as the visions they evoked. Maybe this is one of the reasons why Marais and de Maistre recorded the hands of magicians in the following chronophotographic sequences. Were they all interested in the physiology of the trained hand? Or in the secrets these hands might reveal. The repertoire of the ombroman extended from shadow animals to shadow politicians had dissipated their feature roles as mere figments of the mass media or simulated faces on the TV screen. In an interesting twist of fate, Tremay, the master ombroman, became the first British manager for Lumiere Brothers, the early film pioneers, shifting from one form of moving shadows to another. There were other forms in which the hands created magic in front of the audience. Vincent McCain, the pioneer of comics and animation, is seen here creating lightning sketches on a blackboard. And these were the lightning sketches. The performer made rapid pencil sketches while telling stories, transforming the image. The reference to lightning may recall the acts of God, but it may also point to speed, the new God of the 20th century. Sketching things upside down was a special attraction for audiences who had already seen everything. Not surprisingly, the lightning sketches became an inspiration for animation and trick film. J. Stuart Blackton, a professional touring lightning sketches artist, became a film pioneer. Thank you. performing miracles on paper. For decades, the drawing hand appeared as a materialized topos in animation films, sometimes competing with its own creations. And here we see Emil Kohl's hand appearing in his pioneering animation film for Phantasmagoria in 1908.
Thank you. Put your magic red crayon right where my finger is right here. You ready? We're going to draw that in front of you as a drop. Now, here we go, boys and girls. Follow me right around. Right up to the top of the head. Now, all the way down. And this will be a very, very big surprise at the end. That's right. Got that? Now, down here. Now, over. You imagine your winky dick kiss. You know, you're going to be doing this with us. Otherwise, you just have to sit and you just don't know what's going on. It's so much more fun to have a winky dick kiss. So, make sure to send it to us right after the program. There we are. Now, you boys and girls grab your winky dick kiss to see what you've drawn, can't you? But all we need for it is some fish. And first, I'll take a little winky dick magic to see the fish and what you've drawn. So, if you'll get ready, I'll step out of here. We'll send the magic for us. 1, 2, 3, wake up! And there are the goldfish in what the boys and girls drew.
Winky Dink and You was a children's television program. Hands from both sides of the screen merged with each other. Children whose parents had bought them the Winky Dink kits were encouraged to draw directly on the screen, as instructed by the host Jack Barry. The transparent magic window was attached onto the screen, and children used magic crayons to draw on it.
Hi, Helen. That's right. Now, let's watch where she puts up her magic window. Now, Helen does packing her winky dink kit right now. She's getting out her magic crayons and her erasing cloth. Now she's going to get out her magic window, and you do just as she's doing, boys and girls. Watch her now. Watch her see. You'll see she rubs her magic window. And you do that, too. That's where we get some of our magic into the magic window. See how she rubs it? Fine. Now she's going to put her magic window right up on the screen of the television set. That's right. But you do it just the way she does, boys and girls. It's very important. Now press it out like she does from the center to the corner so that it becomes smooth. And so you notice how that plastic is lightly tinted? That makes it much easier to watch our television show, even for your parents. Okay, Alan. See you a little later. Hope you have a good time today.
We think you created mates. Big brothers were set to torment their little sisters by drawing horrible monsters, or driving Winky to death by evil, invisible threats. Children created things that were not at all what Jack Barry had requested. They wanted to take command, become creators and hackers, little media people. Still, it was only Shooter Interactive. One could not really affect the outcome. But it was a far cry from the passive stance of the couch potato. At least it pretended to make the user a protagonist. Winky Dink could not change the television, but it anticipated TV games and game consoles, interactive media. Later, Ishii and Kobayashi's clear board also evolved Winky, except that now the interaction was real and mutual. It combined a face-to-face encounter with the blackboard and distant communication. No doubt, Winky Dink and You remediated the blackboard, known to all. The blackboard has been an invisible medium. It has been neglected by cultural discourses, perhaps because of its ubiquity. Now that it's becoming obsolete, perhaps its contribution to culture, and the culture of interactivity in particular, should be acknowledged. The blackboard is a blank surface for the mind to be exteriorized and made visible for others by the mediation of the hand. It is not a place for permanent storage. It is a place for exchange, erasure, learning, argument, improvisation, fun. Wiping away the scribblings is as essential as producing them. That's why the blackboard anticipated the interactive screen. There was also the writing slate, the portable version of the blackboard, obviously a forefather of Apple's Newton and the PDA. This is the blackboard used by Albert Einstein during his lecture at Oxford in 1931, kept at the Oxford Museum of Science. And here is a blackboard created by Brian Eno, also kept at the Museum of Science, Oxford. There's something funny in the idea of a permanently filled, completed and preserved blackboard. A true metaphor of death, a token of interrupted interaction, of frozen flux. If it wasn't for the squeaks, I would much prefer this technology to my newly acquired laptop. Chris Patton, Chancellor of a well-known university.
Thank you.
Returning to the realm of the hand. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now introduce you the Quintex using the fingers move. The first employment of moving pictures in teaching piano and forehead. So was this just a joke to wake you up? Far from that. As ephemeral as it may seem, the flipbook is a subtle interactive interface. It is a medium at your fingertips by excellence. Actually, the Quintex was a developed version of another remarkable device that produced neither images nor sounds, but let you enjoy the pleasure of flexing your fingers on a keyboard. This delightfully productive and appropriately named device is known as the Digitoryu. Device that does nothing. A similar reductivism can be sometimes found in the conceptual art. This is Giuseppe Chiari's gestures on a keyboard. No sound. The evolution of interactive art is intimately connected with the repurposing of the keyboard. Color organs and light gamers pointing the way to other devices. This is Besharnik's spectrophone. Other devices like video synthesizers. They were influenced by musical instruments like the piano, but also by the desire to repurpose television, like Winky. Dungeon Pike dreamed about doing TV with his fingers. This is Namjoon Park's and Shuya Mabe's video synthesizer, 68-71. The development went, or was supposed to go, from monster machines for professional visual music performers like Thomas Wilfred, posing with his concert Clavilax in the 1920s, to devices for the home, like Thomas Wilfred's Clavilax Jr., 1930. It could be interactively controlled by anyone, from the armchair, by means of a strictly wired remote controller. As it often happens, Clavilax Jr. was a failure. Perhaps it came too early. Winky Dink was a relative failure too. Game consoles have been a great success, but hardly what Wilfred had in mind. Here's Thomas Wilfred demonstrating his Clavilax Jr. to the 1930. For Thomas Wilfred was an artist and he wanted to create art. Before the Clavilax era, he was known as Wilfred the lute player. His fingers were the link from Renaissance music to abstract moving images. This is a poster for a Renaissance lute concert by Thomas Wilfred, 1913. The all-embracing art of Lumia was his dream. Snapshots from actual functioning Clavilax Jr. machine. His dream was realized in its own way by psychedelia and the multimedia light shows of the 1960s. But of course, there was no reason why the artists should just keep on banging the keys with their fingers. There were endless possibilities. Here, for example, is Oscar Fischinger's Ludigraph that used a flexible wall as a light instrument. Pattern drawing from 1950. And Ombromani is still alive as well. This is Laurie Anderson performing. For the artist, anything goes. There's no such thing as obsolete technology. There are only things to rediscover and repurpose. Like the overhead projector, in a sense, the most tired thing one can imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, we are preparing, after a while, to leave the realm of the hand. Thank you.
Toshio and why, but I think there's going to be a break while Toshio sets up and we clear our big. Someone knows after what time Toshio starts? 3:45. Okay. Yes, other things happen. Go out and enjoy the day.